Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
The fan base would be excited. He could cheat legally. It's perfect. It's a perfect solution.
The Take with Andy Sweeney.
We'd crawl over tables and chairs talking to kids. It was open.
And Perrin Johnson.
You guys are doing the whole fire sale. You guys got rid of Ince and sent him to the Cardinals.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
There's no scenario where they could have won the game. And oh, by the way, that's true next year as well. Sorry, Louisville fans. But what about our recruiting class?
Samuel Williamson, baby.
We got all these recruits coming in. Yeah, good luck with that. You're not winning next year. You're not winning. You're maybe 3 years down the road, you might get one. Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe 3 years in what?
I mean,
in 2022.
Come on, Rummage. 12, 13, 14 in a row, we might let a mango happen. But I mean, you're not at our level programmatically.
I remember you.
You know, that's the pretentious voice of Lachlan McClain, no longer here, now on Spectrum News One, your 24-hour source for news and weather. Of course, Chris Mack's last game would be against Virginia. A double-digit loss against Virginia. Because, of course, it was either that or Florida State or Kentucky, right? It was one of the three.
Hey, did you see the...
Ever since Chris Mack made that dopey video with Eric Wood, nothing right happened in his basketball program. Am I right? Ever since he did that, Dino Gaudio, I mean, everything.
You know what would be funny? And listen, I don't mean to make fun of Louisville, but if it's a good joke, you can laugh at yourself. Wouldn't it be funny if Cal was, like, somewhere in a dark place and he was behind, like, Antoine Walker, and Antoine Walker was like... Mike Biggie's won those games.
Well, you'd have to be in a casino.
That too.
It was mean. I'm sorry. All right. Mike DeCourcy is going to join us at TSN Mike. It's a Tuesday. It's the 5 o'clock hour. You know what that means. You can catch him there at the Sporting News Big Ten Network as well. And does the brackets. Had his latest bracket come out for Fox Sports today. Mike, we've stepped in hell again on the basketball side. Chris Mack, it's trending towards a settlement. Him no longer being the head coach tonight, tomorrow. That's, you know, going to be the big story. If that were to happen, and again, it has not been official as of yet, but that is the expectation. We've talked about his job security, no doubt, the last couple weeks. Still, how surprised are you to see this, especially ending midseason, if it happens?
Yeah, see, I didn't think that a program of Louisville stature would ever do something like this. I think it's beneath the stature of a program like Louisville to do this. If you decide at the end of this year that, you know, and certainly the results to date would support anyone who wished to move in that direction, at the end of the year, the results, especially in this season, but overall it's not been glittering. I can understand that, and I would not argue vehemently against that. But midseason, who does? You know, Louisville doesn't do that. The best programs don't do that. It does no one any good to do that. There's no utility in it at all. I remember when Vegas did it to Dave Rice, who was one of the great people in college basketball. They didn't win enough. I get it. Again, not arguing at the end of the year you decide Dave Rice not good enough. Okay, fine. But to move them out, they wanted to be like the first ones in the pool so they could get the best pick, and they, you know what they were? They were the last ones out. They were like literally the last significant program to hire a coach in that year. I think it was 2016. It was ridiculous. It doesn't do you any good. It makes you look bad. And I think Louisville, should be better than that.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, so I don't have a hot take either, or really too much of an opinion on the firing in the middle of the season. Okay, so if one side likes it, if one side doesn't, to me, what we talked about last segment was, and here would be the thing that would throw the wrench into the conversation, and Mike, we may not know fully what is going on ever. We may not know fully until tonight, later tonight, whatever, meet tomorrow when they have the board meeting at 4 o'clock and everything else. But if this is an agreement for weeks around here, and really since the suspension, the AD and Vince Tyree leaves, and there's all of that drama, there have been murmurings that Chris Mack has not been happy, and he is looking for a way out. And then you have the season that you're having now, and it could be, instead of a firing, it is a divorce. Hey, you're not getting the $12 million in the buyout, you're getting half. Whatever number, if there is a number. And again, we don't know all of this, so I'm trying to hedge here. I guess what I'm trying to say is, yes, on the Louisville side, but there's also the Chris Mack side that, what if he's okay with walking away himself in the middle of ACC conference play?
Well, you know, I would say that if he were in, if he had called me and said, "What do you think about this?" I'd say, "Well, okay, tell me the last person who got let go, fired, forced to resign, mutually agreed, whatever the heck you want to call it, and wound up with a great job, wound up with any job, but it probably aren't very many, but wound up with a really good job. How many? Like who? When did that happen? Dave's an assistant coach. That's fine. I think Gottfried, who finished the year but was let go in February of his last year, whatever year that was, he wound up coaching Bakersfield or somewhere like that. I don't think that losing one's college job in the middle of a season or two thirds of the way through the season or whatever you want to call that, I don't think that's exactly your best career move. So if indeed that were the case, I would call that highly ill-advised from his side. If it's not the case, I once again go back to the idea. I don't think this is what the best program should do. I think you tough it out. You know, that's the funny thing is everybody says to players now, okay, right?
I'm with you on this, yeah.
Tough it out. You know, right. You're not playing, tough it out. Well, how come colleges and coaches don't have to tough it out anymore? It's, you know, if it's not working, it's not working. Maybe it might. Maybe all of a sudden it clicks. You think we've never seen a team? I can tell you that in 2004, this is one I always reach for because I remember it so vividly. Washington, UW, was like 90th or 95th in the RPI, and then they won like 9 of their last 10, including beating undefeated Stanford, literally undefeated Stanford on the last day of the regular season, and Washington gets in the show. And I'm not predicting that or anything, but it does happen. So the idea that anyone's better off for this is nonsense.
Mike DeCourcy with us at TSN Mike. Yeah, that's going to be – I put that on Twitter because, you know, I mean, colleges, especially in college, right, they get really beat up for when they fire in the middle of the season. And, again, I don't care about that, but I understand that that is a prevalent thought and people don't like that, and I understand why. And then there's the Chris Mack angle of not want, you know, does he want to be here if he takes money on the way out, obviously? What does that mean? And perhaps we never know, and that's where we are here. The next 24 hours are going to be really interesting. Listen, Mike, I know you're not here on a consistent, you know, you don't live in Louisville, so you're not consuming Louisville stuff. I am surprised. You know, he had the suspension, and Louisville fans were completely behind him, right? I mean, people were very pro Chris Mack, and he's back, and they're 5-1, and at the time, Mississippi State looked like a good win, and they beat Maryland, and we thought that those were going to be good wins. They lose to Michigan State when he comes back. They beat NC State, and so at least like 8 games into the year, and they played 20, almost 50% of the season went by, and Louisville fans liked Chris Mack in the last 10 to 12 games. It has fully melted into this. Now, things happen to lead us to here, but the unhappiness behind the scenes and how quickly this melted, to me, that's surprising, especially in season.
I mean, I did my first bracket literally a month ago. Less than a month ago, because it was after Christmas. So, 28th, I think it was. And we're on the 25th now. So, a little less than a month ago. And they were either in that one or the second one. They were a factor at that point. And I would say the Mississippi State win still looks like a good win, because I see people out there still putting Mississippi State in their brackets. Mm-hmm. So I would say that's still a good win.
Yeah, it is.
They had something going, and then all of a sudden it hit the wall. And I watched last night, and that doesn't look like a Chris Mack team. I will say that. I mean, I thought Rick Bozich did a really interesting article about the assistant coach they brought in to revamp the offense.
Yeah,
I mean, the shot selection on that team is just abysmal. I mean, whoever's coaching, it's abysmal. I mean, the shots they took, especially when you know who you're playing, right? UVA. They are desperate for you to take bad shots.
Yeah.
If you want to walk down they make their whole program is built on you taking bad shots.
I know.
Should be on the wall. They take bad shots. That should be like their slogan in their locker room. And here you come down saying, you don't even have to make me take bad shots. I'm going to do it for you. And it was just staggering. Down in the final 8 minutes or so, and they're in the game, and they're saying, nah, we don't want to be in the game. We want to take bad shots. I don't know I don't know whose fingerprints are on that, but I thought both did a really interesting article about it. And I can tell you that doesn't look like anything I saw from Chris Mack, watching him from the minute he was hired until the minute he left for Louisville. And probably beyond that, it doesn't look like anything that would have been on his resume.
Well, here's what I think happened. Mike DeCourcy with us. This is just a theory. Now, you're not going to know all the players in this theory, but stay with our analogy, if you will. Mark Stoops, when he took over Kentucky, okay, Mike, he hired, and the offensive coordinator was a Kentucky guy who's now at West Virginia, Neil Brown. And he did what's called the air raid. Kentucky did a whole thing where they had a horn, like a whole horn go off and everything.
They did.
Troops.
The tornado siren, yes.
Yeah, so they did this whole thing called the air raid. And Mark Stoops would watch his air raid go out and throw three quick passes, and because they had crappy players, throw three incompletions and be off the field in 10 seconds. And then he had to put his defense on back, Bud Dupree, your boy Bud Dupree, had to put the defense back on the field. And eventually Mark Stoops realized, I don't like to play the air raid. I want to run the football and be as boring as possible. And he did so for about 6-7 seasons until last year caught up with them and they revamped their offense to be more balanced. The reason I bring this up is I think going into this year, Chris Mack was so desperate that he changed what he believed in on offense. And it was promoted that this was a new sexy style, and they bring in Ross McMaines. And the problem is they're running the air raid and they have running back personnel. And what I mean by that is,
this is beautiful.
They need to be good shooters, and they're not good shooters. You need somebody who can be a point guard. They don't have that, and you need bigs that can dribble. And none of their bigs can dribble, Mike. I mean, Malik Williams at the three-point line dribbling. It's terrible. Jalen Withers thinks he thinks he can shoot threes. He thinks he can dribble. He cannot. And I feel like their personnel doesn't match up. And then the other thing is, I don't believe he ever got a good baseline of high school kids. I believed he was trying to patch too much with the portal and transfers, and I think it snuck up on him. His first class, the Super Six kids come in, and all of them are a miss. The only one left is Samuel Williamson, and at this point, he is a bench player at this point, and he kind of got into this thing to where he could get grad transfers to come in. Then you take maybe a lower-level talent than you would get. Guys aren't in your system. They're not developing in your system, and so the identity went away. Looking back at it, those two things, Mike, I think went into this year being the disaster that it's been.
Yeah, I think that the players that they have in this ACC can finish on the right side of the middle of the pack and the right side of 500. If they are playing Chris Mack, Xavier 2010, 12 basketball. They're not as good as 2012 Xavier. That was a
right.
good team. But if they're playing that style, they're good enough to win more than half of their ACC games. Because I've seen them play enough times to think that there's enough out there that if they're playing the right way, and that means not taking bad shots and playing physically when it's called for and sharing the basketball and you know, big guys taking threes off of certain circumstances. Sure, Malik Williams, I'll take him taking threes off, you know, off a good pick pop or, you know, a drive and a kick from, but, you know, I mean, whatever. There are enough players out there to win. Like, and they wouldn't win in the Big East on a regular basis, or the Big 12, they would get shredded because that, you know, they might win some home games and such if they were playing right, but they wouldn't finish. You know, they wouldn't finish where you'd want. But they're good enough in this ACC to be, you know, they have enough good players to at least finish in the top half of the league, and that's not the way those players have performed. And it's hard to understand from somebody who watched a guy who was an excellent coach during his time at Xavier. I mean, number one seed in 2018, you know, Elite Eight in 2017, I think it was, 2017 when they played Gonzaga, a Sweet 16 in 2009, then had to go to double overtime to get knocked out, Sweet 16 in 2012. I mean, they were excellent. And, you know, I'm not seeing that reflected on the floor when I look out there last night and see them playing Virginia.
Yeah, it's just been a mess. And his tenure has just been rocky since step one. I mean, it's been something. It's been self-inflicted. It's been COVID. It's been some bad luck. There's been something.
Well,
not making
the
tournament last year.
He took on a program that is
sure.
In the middle of, or the end, whatever, the end of now, but he took it on at the start of, pretty much, a NCAA investigation on top of a current NCAA probation. That part was a problem, too. And of course, he knew about that when he went in, because there wouldn't have been an opening if it hadn't been for that. So
that's why he got a good deal. He got a great contract. I mean, he's leaving with some money.
And he's not, you know, it's not been easy, though, to dodge that. It's been a challenge because, you know, I mean, you're recruiting against people. This is a very, you know, it's a very competitive area. You know, Indiana's 2 hours to the north. Kentucky's an hour to the east. Bearcats and Musketeers are an hour and a half to the northeast. I mean, there are people all around you that want players just like you want players, and it's, you know, there's only so many players to go around, and you know, and I would say that it's also complicated by the membership in the ACC because there are 15 programs in your league. You can't just say, hey, you get to play in the ACC, because like even Boston College can say that. So it's not that exclusive. So you have to have some good fortune in recruiting and a lot to sell. And everybody around you has a lot to sell minus the NCAA investigation. So it's a real challenge. And it started well. I thought he did really well with some of the players that were left over from Rick's regime. But it hasn't gone in the right direction this year, certainly. And, you know, I do wonder. I've not talked to him about this, but I, like I said, that Bozich column really opened my eyes about what I'm seeing. It makes more sense to me now what I'm seeing than it did before I read that.
Mike DeCourcy with us. Mike is also Rick Bozich's agent on the side. I'm kidding. Mike DeCourcy with us at TSN. Mike, it's funny. We were going to lead with Kentucky. You having them as a four seed, and is Cal going to play Shaedon Sharpe? But we may have to leave some of that on the cutting room floor. A couple different things on this. And Mike DeCourcy with us is how much do you put on, and again, I know you're not following this team day in, day out, and I'm just coming up with new things to talk about here, as obviously this is going to be the story. you know, Jared West comes out last night and is like, yeah, we weren't ready to play, didn't have attention to detail, we weren't playing hard. And this is after, like, a team meeting to get, I mean, after a team meeting to air out grievances before, you know, you play the Virginia game. Malik over the weekend, you know, had a no comment whether guys are still buying in or not. Listen, the coach is going to be gone. The coach takes the heat. I am with that. But I also think players need to take responsibility. And this is not an uber talented team. And so that means you got to know the plays. You got to know what you're doing, right? You got to know who you are as a player. And you got to play hard on top of that. And I think the players, Mac has let everyone down. The players have also been a letdown this season, and I know they're in college, but I think that's a fair thing to say, and people are going to be taking runs at Chris Mack, and it's worth saying that Jared West is basically just coming out and saying, oh yeah, we didn't play hard against Virginia. It's like, you guys know your back is against the wall, and this has been something that's been talked about in all of these games, Mike. I mean, they've been playing for their tournament life for 2 weeks. I mean, a coach can only do so much.
That's true, and I cannot understand players not playing hard. You get 30 plus games a year. I can understand players maybe not practicing hard. It's not obviously desirable, but I can understand when if things are going badly. But when you get out on the floor and you get to be on TV and you get to play the game you love, and you get to do that 30 times and in a year and 120 times in your career, if you're lucky, I don't know how you're not playing hard all the time. Unless, you know, other than injury, that's the only way.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're not playing hard all the time. That doesn't make any sense to me, because it's you only get so many of these opportunities. I mean, it goes away faster than you think. Like, before long, you're not playing at all. Not even, like, not on TV and not against, you know, with 10,000 people in the stands, but not at all. You know, your back gets bad, and all of a sudden, I gave up basketball in my 30s because I remember I started reading articles about guys or ladies that were getting hurt playing and having to rehab ACLs, and I said to myself, I don't have time for that.
Wait, you quit before the injury?
Hey, Mike, you were smart. You were smart. I'm for knee surgeries and a scope on my ankle.
Taron Johnson's here. Yeah, but that's because you played for Rick Pitino, who left you on the treadmill for 35 minutes at a time.
Hey, but listen, it was a part of the system. I mean, but at the same, but like to Mike's point about the body, you know. It playing in college sure does beat playing in some foreign country.
Well, I mean, a lot of these guys are near the end. Jared West is at the end. Malik's near the end.
It'll never be like this again, though,
for them. If
some
of these guys transfer away, it ain't going to be at a place of the stature of U of L. I can tell you that.
But the same amount of people that are here at these games are the same amount of people that are Marshall games right now.
Yeah, Mike, I mean, it's been, what, 6,000, 7,000
at
some
of
these games?
It's astounding.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, I remember sitting in the Yum and seeing how enthusiastic the people were. And I remember one of the things that really was special about Louisville in that era was, they trot out the golf team or the women's basketball team or the soccer team or whoever had a great year, and that people would go crazy for
them.
And no one else had that. And I know it's all, it's all been crumbling to an extent, and not every team has crumbled, but that massive universal support among the Louisville fan base is not crumbling, maybe the wrong word, but, maybe withering is a better word. It's just sort of gradually eroded, and it's not what it was. And I think that's a shame, because it was indeed something special in college athletics, and I certainly believe that it can be that again, but they have a lot of things to put in place in order to get back to that.
And Mike, I got a question for you. You know, everybody's if Louisville decides to move off from Chris Mack and they were to bring in another coach because of what's transpired here, do you think any chance they make a run at anybody that past might be quote unquote, let's say, checkered?
I mean, people here want Bruce Pearl, Mike. I think we talked about this last week, did we not? Bruce.
But why, I don't, I understand that, but why would Bruce Pearl want to come?
Well, that's what I said.
Yeah.
Louisville do for him that Auburn currently is not?
Right,
You can be number one here. Oh, really? Okay, like, what am I now? You can make the Final Four here. Oh, yeah? Were you around in 2019? what can Louisville – what Louisville has – you know, they have a bigger arena. That's not really – that doesn't really matter. I mean, I guess they could pay him more money, but if Auburn wanted to keep him, it's not like they're short on cash in the SEC.
I think they paid like $16 million for Malzahn. I think they paid $16 million to get rid of Gus Malzahn.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I have a couple more.
Because four guys that I like for this position, but I really have three because I think the last guy I'm going to name is not going to come because I think his situation is too good right now. I like the guy at Oklahoma State.
He's really good.
Yeah, Mike Boynton.
Great choice.
I like Steve Forbes, and the reason why is he's coached knuckleheads. He's came from the JUCO ranks. He was under Bruce Pearl at Tennessee, and he's a really good coach. He did a great job picking out that transfer kid, the Williams kid, who's the only player in the country averaging 25-5. I think Mick Cronin would like to come home because he's from Midwest guy.
That'd be a name to talk about, Mike.
Yeah, that one. Have you been to California?
I'm from LA.
He's from LA.
But
I mean, you got to be kidding me.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, but
we told him to get the hell out of the Ohio Valley.
But
go back.
Hey, but here's my thing, Mike. You know, charter flights versus that Pac-12 commercial schedule.
Oh no,
you get the charter plane.
I don't think he's doing that anymore. I think they've got that squared away.
They got that squared away. I'm not sure if that's changed.
It's going to be Mick Cronin was seen at a barn in Lexington.
And now the last thing I want to say, and the last name is what everybody's been naming for years. But I think he's got a great situation where he's at is Kenny Payne. The Knicks are good. He doesn't have to deal with knuckleheads and babysitting. And they're going to have some salary cap. I think New York doesn't need to leave New York. And why would he want to take on this headache with no AD, no president, and this being such a cluster, you know what?
Can I add one thing to that? Kenny Payne, I was going to ask you about, Mike, and I know you like Kenny Payne because that's going to be a name that people are going to bring up. And then right now, Louisville does not have – I mean, they have an interim AD, and I am very much against making fundamental decisions with an interim AD. I mean, Vince Tyre, you know, he got hired along with Chris Mack, I think it was, right? He got hired along with Chris Mack. If you're going to keep Josh Hurd is the guy who has the job now. If you're going to keep him, fine. But to me, Louisville, I'm stunned because Louisville's walking into a spot to where they don't have someone who's not an interim making this decision. And that, to me, it just seems to be sports suicide if you hire another coach with an interim.
But see, doesn't that go back to the beginning of the conversation, though? They're making fundamental decisions without an AD, like, okay taking Louisville
sure.
into the land of potentially, this is not like, you know, this is just speculative, but potentially making a coaching change with still a month and a half to play. That's without a sitting AD being involved in that decision. That means probably somebody's making this decision that doesn't have enough background to really understand what the repercussions are. I'm not comfortable with that either. So on both ends, if indeed that they are making that move now, that's bad, because what you should be thinking about at this point is either if the interim person is your permanent person, fine. If it's not, find one. That should be your primary concern at the moment. And instead, you're dealing with throwing another. You know, you're opening another sewer hole, so to speak, if indeed you went in this direction.
Mike DeCourcy, I want to ask you about Kentucky, but last one about Chris Mack. How attractive is he going forward now? You kind of draw a line through this. U of L with the NCAA stuff. He had COVID take away his best team. COVID really affected last season. Didn't play enough games. Otherwise, he would have made the tournament something. And that would have given him a little bit of goodwill. Do you think he – I'm not asking you, a specific team, obviously, if he goes to TV or something. Do you think he'll have to take a step back a little bit like someone like Shaka Smart did from Texas to Marquette?
Yeah, but Shaka only just took a – Shaka – is still in the Big East. I mean, he's not, it's not Texas, but it's a better fit for him. And I think Chris is still a very, and he were on the market for a new head coaching job. I would want to sit with him and say, okay, tell me how I can get the Xavier Chris Mack. I'll hire that guy.
Right.
I don't want to hire the guy that was in Louisville. That, whatever all happened, I don't want pretty much just about any of it. I think that from the stuff that happened with his staff at the end of last year to the stuff that's apparently happening with the staff he has now, to the players not, you know, coming out and not playing hard, saying they're not playing hard. I mean, you remember 2011, his players were criticized for the use of the phrase "zip them up."
Oh yeah, it was, we loved it.
Yeah. But there, you know, it was not the best language or terminology or whatever. But there was an intensity in that statement, a passion for the game that you want on your team every time.
And it fit, and it fit his personality.
All the way.
And it fit
was
him.
An all-time great at Xavier,
yep,
because of that intensity, because he wasn't a truly physically gifted player, but he ached to win a basketball game. And they got to find guys like that at Louisville. You know, whoever is the coach at the end of this year or next, they got to find more guys like that.
All right, last one for Mike DeCourcy. Always appreciate the time. Sorry to keep you so long. You had Kentucky, just quickly on Kentucky, no tie tonight. Losers at Auburn. Kansas is coming up. An interesting game tonight, an odd spot for Kentucky with no tie. They're an interesting team. And again, you can keep this brief, Mike. You had them as a 4 seed, okay? And you're in a situation here to where the net has them as a 9, the Kempom has them as a 6, the metrics like them, and the eye test likes them, but two of, yes, their big losses, they've had injuries in those, yes, games, and then, I mean, really their resume is a 30-point win over Tennessee, and Tennessee's a good team, they're a nice team, but that's not one of the, you know, I mean, people quad 1 and quad 2, everyone above them has way more quad 1 wins, and then if you combine quad 2 as well. So everyone loves Kentucky, but they haven't had to beat a bunch of people. Their losses have been dismissed a little bit. I don't want to put words in your mouth. So where do you see Kentucky being right now, and what do you make of the matchup tonight?
Yeah, they and Illinois are the two most vexing teams to seed, because each of them, I think each of them is down to one quad one win at this point. And each of them has been damaged by injuries almost every time they turn around, and certainly in the biggest games they've had injuries for both programs, and so it does make it hard. And so you have to take into account, one, that the eye test isn't so much what you hope to rely on, but the metrics say a lot, and especially when they're in agreement. And so when you're seeding, you don't want to punish the higher seed, like you're Purdue, say,
right,
and you earn a 3. Well, you don't want Kentucky to be your 6. I mean, you worked your tail off to earn that 3, and you're going to go up against 4 pros or whatever because they just happen to be injured on the night they played LSU. I mean, that's not so. So that's when you start to, when you're doing the bracket, you start to try to, you know, well, where can we fit them in that we're not displacing anybody that's significantly better? And that's where, you know, if you look at the 5 line and the 6 line, it's really not that strong. I mean, I really started running out of teams that impressed me, you know, when I got to, you know, that border, that 5-6 border, I really started to struggle. And when I got to 7, I was like, hide your eyes. so that's why they're, you know, from a resume standpoint, they're probably a 7. And they're probably not an 8-9. They're probably a 7. But from a performance standpoint, you know, you feel a little bit guilty about keeping them as a 4 because, again, that one, whoever that one is, whether it's Baylor or Gonzaga or whomever, they're going to have to face that team in the Sweet 16, and that may not be a fair thing for the one. So you're keeping an eye on, you know, can they win a game that gives you, you know, that gives you cover to make them a 3, say, and that, you know, that's sort of that's really the sweet spot for the bracket people, for the committee, that a 3 would be, you know, if Kentucky can win enough of those kinds of games to be comfortable as a 3, I think that would be a really fair seed, because it would be fair to everyone around them, because, you know, whether they're a 2 or a 3, you're basically playing the same people. It protects the one from having to play that team in the Sweet 16. So we'll see how it goes. Again, they have to start to win some of those games, and it's hard because they've been materially affected in both of them because they were on the road. They don't get the opportunity to play Auburn at home, which is, you know, kind of rough. So all they have is, you know, that opportunity. You know, they have,
yeah, they get Florida twice.
Home wins against the lead. I think they have LSU coming up.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, like Florida, and they stink. Florida stinks. Sorry,
yeah,
Mike.
So they have to do it on the road, and it's like, you know, I'll go ahead and beat Kansas on the road, and you may or may not have your most important player, you know, or you're down at Auburn and you're playing great. I thought that the people who said that they looked sure to win, I thought that was a bit of a
statement. Yeah.
But they certainly were every bit as good as Auburn up until the point when Ty went down. So they certainly could have won that game. And as well at LSU, they were better at LSU. I don't think there's any question they're a better team.
Agreed.
So that you know, they've had the worst of luck in those circumstances, and you know, that puts them in a position where they really need to perform in at least one of these and it seems like we're running short on them. Either the Kansas game, or maybe if they get a chance to play an Auburn or a LSU on a neutral. You kind of need that to sort of make your declaration that you belong on a higher line than where they currently are.
Mike, sorry for keeping you so long. Drama, drama, drama. You know how it is in Louisville, Mike. You know how it is. There's always something. So we shall see what happens in the next few hours. Appreciate the time. We'll talk with you next week. Thank you so much, and enjoy all the games, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Mike DeCourcy at TSN Mike, if you want to follow him. There. That's going to be a long 24 hours, Perrin.
That's going to be a long day.
It's going to be a long day tomorrow. Jack, what do you want to do tomorrow? You ready for this? Jack's ready to give takes. I know he is.
Oh, I'm ready to give takes.
He's ready to give takes at 11 p.m. With Lawrence calling
He wakes
in.
Up with yes. takes. Yeah. He wakes up with takes.
He wakes up with groggy eyes.
He gets takes in his sleep.
There you go.
Yeah.
Taylor texted me last time on my way back from the postgame show, and he went, "Do you and Pat just try to outdo yourselves on these things?"
I'll tell you this much.
They're trying to get as long as he can.
We got to play Issel sound today.
We do.
Let's take a break. Parents hanging out with us. Andy Sweeney, Jack Grossman. It's The Take on ESPN 680 1057. Quick break on the other end. We'll wrap up the show. Chris Mack, will he be gone? We'll get into that. Plus, I have four or five other little notes that we can talk about. We'll do that next here on The Take on ESPN Louisville.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
You're listening to The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Ask Perrin, what if he dated Katina Powell? What about that?
And Perrin Johnson.
Never would have done that. Never would have. I just still, that part of history is still beyond me. I can't fathom that one. I needed a lot of things in college, and a woman wasn't one of them. I can tell you that much.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
All right, so we're back. 5 o'clock hour, as always. Presented by Cox's Spirit Shops and Evergreen Liquors, Cox'sLouisville.com. They are now delivering all the beer, wine, spirits, those premium cigars. You may need one. If you didn't like Chris Mack, you may need one for tomorrow, I guess.
I ain't gonna lie, I'll see my smoking one today. I'm playing. It was a joke. You made it too easy for me.
Listen,
it was a joke.
You smoke a stogie all you want. Smoke anything you want. This is the show. You can do it. Whatever you want to do, this is it.
Smoke anything you want. Put that
Jack,
on the mix.
Jack, you had a stogie before? I can see you around Derby time doing that. And that's about it.
That's about the only
and that,
time.
And
yes.
that's about it. So there you go. We should get Jack to do a segment. He smokes a Black and Mild, and he inhales.
Does he freak it, though?
I don't know.
That's too much for him?
I wouldn't enjoy that.
My brain went from freaking a Black and Mild,
yes,
something that would happen here at Cardinal Town.
Yes.
I was taking my little walk today.
Mm-hmm.
There was a man peeing on the side of the building. at Cardinal Town.
I believe it.
And he wasn't hid.
I can believe it.
He wasn't like, trying to hide at all.
I can believe it.
Well, of course you can believe it. I was like, oh. Huh?
That Thornton's downtown across from JCTC.
Oh, brother, that Thornton's downtown.
Oh, man. I saw a lady at a red light lean on somebody's car, and she was like in her birthday suit, to say the least. And she just laid in the car, and she put her hand under her chin like a Lifetime photo. Like, she was like, you know what I mean? When you're taking the light, when you turn your head to the side.
Yeah.
And the car just sat there, and all the other cars went. It was like, and you could tell everybody driving by was like, better you than me, brother. Better you than me. So,
Jack ever been to the Thorns on Broadway?
Yes, I have.
That's actually surprising.
Man,
I'm surprised by that.
Live action there all day, every day. 365. It doesn't matter. Live action.
Oh, man, I got some stories about that place, but I can only tell them off the air. A bunch of people.
That's disappointing.
437-9680. What if all this is a big coincidence? Mac is sick or having a personal problem and had to cancel the radio show, and the board meeting is only finalizing buyouts to Vince or Neely or making Josh the permanent AD. That's fine, but Neely left for another job. She doesn't get a buyout.
Yeah. Neely saw the writing on the wall here.
Texas says, is it time to fade U of L the rest of the season? Well, what have you been doing the last 2 weeks?
Are you
fading Louisville? I was live betting Virginia like a madman for the first 30 minutes of the game. Yes. They play Duke on Saturday.
That's like buying your wife a birthday gift a week later. Where have you been? Where have you been?
What was the... Oh, we got to tell you this. Parent will love this. We'll get back to all this. We'll get back to all this nonsense.
Yeah. Yes, it's not going anywhere.
You'll like this. Strebel once bought his wife a London Fog bag, like a purse.
Yeah. What did she say?
She act like she liked it.
Why did he buy that?
She threw it away and went to the Gucci store and bought a Michael Kors.
Made him buy the bag, though?
He's a cheap SOB.
Oh, you can't do that.
He's a male that doesn't know what to do.
You got to look in her closet and then look at her friends. You got to phone a friend on that. Or he could have just called me.
He doesn't want any help. Oh. Okay, so 437-9680. So, Chris, if you're just joining us, Chris Mack, no radio show tonight, and then tomorrow, 4 o'clock, a joint meeting between the Board of Trustees and the EULA Board, and we shall see what action is taken. Right now, the prevalent notion is Chris Mack will not coach a game, that there is going to be a meeting in the middle. What's funny about it, and Jack, I don't know if you remember this, you were probably too busy looking up highlights of the watch shot, or whatever you do.
Christian Wofford, what is he doing now?
The fantasy fling. Oh, I know what Watford's doing. His ass was in Bloomington watching Michigan do that work by 18 on Sunday.
Man, did they ever.
I know what he was doing.
Yes.
But what are we talking about?
We were talking about Strebel.
Tim Sullivan writing that column last week that they should meet in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This offer's been on the table. That's my guess. Because you'll do this. This isn't one of those things where you come to Chris Mack after. I mean, what time they get home last night? The game's over at 9. They're out of there by 10:30, 11 o'clock.
You're out of there by 11 o'clock.
They're not home to pass midnight. You're not home to pass midnight.
1 o'clock.
You're not having that conversation then. You're not waking up this morning and at 9 a.m. saying, hey, we're done here. That's something that's been on the my opinion.
You're not doing the Lane Kiffin on the tarmac?
My opinion is no. My opinion is this is something that has been out there, that has been discussed between the two parties. I don't know that, but it's my guess. It became a prevalent notion. Tim Sullivan wrote about it. Why would that become? And I will say, between that and Mac's unhappiness here, mm-hmm. and then I would say in the last week or so, U of L's unhappiness, okay, mm-hmm. to where the thought of moving on from Mac was a much more real possibility. Listen, I still, like today, was like, do I bring up that I don't think he's gone? Thank God I didn't. Thank God that's not what we talked about at 3:15, because I thought about it because I didn't think anything would happen in the middle of the season, and I also didn't think Mac would walk away and not get $12 million. I mean, that is... Now, maybe he's nervous about the level twos. There's no doubt about it. So, I think the conversation here had been in the works. I mean, I do. I mean, since Tim Sullivan, if not before him writing about it. The other thing, since... Was it February 20th, Jack?
February 20th is when
February 20th
tweeted the video at 11:36 p.m.
Is when who did the video?
Drew Franklin posted.
Yeah, but
the
when
video.
Did they play Kentucky? Was it in December?
Yes, it was in December. I'll get that in a sec. Sorry.
Okay, but since then,
it came out after the loss to North Carolina.
Since then,
yeah.
Whichever date you want to use.
When we got blasted by North Carolina, it was like our worst loss since like World War II.
Nothing has went right for this basketball program. Nothing.
December 26th.
December because it was the day after Christmas. From December 26th, if you want to use then, if you want to use when it was, I mean, people knew that there was a video out there. Quite frankly, I forgot all about it until I saw Drew Franklin retweet it. I'm like, oh yeah, there was a video where Mac was making fun of Calipari, but I didn't know it was badass. Like, Macho Man, I had no idea that it was that. But since that moment, nothing has went right. They have lost games. They did not evaluate talent correctly. I mean, everything, right? I mean, his relationship with the university, his relationship with Neely, what happened with the drama in Vince Tyree, a guy that had his back, no longer there. I mean, everything. It's been every little thing has went wrong since then. And since he took over year one, between the stuff that he did by shunning the media, the stuff that he did by not winning games, the bad luck, and unfortunate that COVID last year, how much did they really care about COVID? It nuked their season, not making the tournament. And then what happened this year with all the buildup, what happened with Dino Gaudio, the suspension. I mean, it's bad luck. Vince Tyree's gone. That was the guy that was, you know, keeping Chris Mack paid at this high level. Apparently, there just hasn't been anything. There hasn't been anything. The high moments beating Kentucky and Michigan.
Well,
that's it, right?
Well, for me last year, I think that stood out to me the most. The one thing that stands out to me the most is you've known Dino Gaudio 30 years. 30 years. Like, think about this. You had to record your best friend at 30 years. First of all, who records their best friend? And then what was said before that you feel like you had the need to record your best friend? That's what is alarming to me. And then, no disrespect to anybody, but at the end of the day, if you're a guy, I never thought Chris Mack needed to change his offense. I just thought Chris Mack needed more talent. So for me, I don't understand why you make a guy who is your director of ops, you slide him into a recruiting role to get you guys. And then you bring in a guy that hasn't been a guy that's been on the recruiting trail. Then you take your other guy who hasn't been coaching at all, and he's a guy from New Zealand who hasn't been a college basketball coach ever, and then you make him a coach. I didn't think Chris Mack needed anything other than bullets in his gun. You know,
This team was never, it never was him. Carly Jones was.
Yeah.
Carly felt like a player that was his. How many
The problem
other,
is there weren't any else.
I think Malik did until the disaster recently. Yeah. I felt like Malik did. I mean, he protected Malik. He backed Malik. Mm-hmm. He praised Malik. Mm-hmm. Who else?
Dwayne Sutton,
but probably.
But that was a Rick guy.
And they mimicked.
I mean, Malik was a Rick guy.
They mimicked what he liked. Maybe undervalued, undersized, not the most athletic type of guys. But, you know, by the way, Dominique Yates, who I like a good deal, who's now a WLKY, put that he was told. Listen to this. We love Dominique. He says, here are some names of interest if Chris Mack is gone. Kenny Payne, Bruce Pearl, Nate Oates.
Hmm.
I'm going to kill you guys with this one. It's going to kill you.
All right.
Will Wade. I go,
you know, Louisville got that bank account. Louisville can give you that strong-ass offer, baby. Where's that bell at?
Bobby V would pass out. That would be funny for
jokes. Who would pass out more, Bobby V or the Luminaries?
If Will Wade got the Louisville job, I would just call Ed Orgeron just for a quote, just so we could have it on file.
I mean, come on.
I mean,
listen, Will Wade would be ours.
He's the biggest crybaby I've ever seen.
Hey, listen, you shut up. That's my guy.
Oh, my God. Did you watch him against the Alabama game?
Listen, I know.
If he begged anymore.
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm with you. But he's the man.
He begged like the guy in Mr. Society that had the cheeseburgers.
Yeah, listen. You'll like that begging if you ever have a son. He starts slipping you some Benjamins.
Listen, some prepaid
credit cards.
Man. Man, hey, don't get me started on Will Wade.
Texas says Mac agreed to a $5 million buyout. I mean, can I have any attribution to that, or are we just going to throw numbers out there?
No, I think you're right. I think the university thought about this and had a discussion after that game against Pittsburgh when he came in and he said he had no... If this is the case, if they're looking to move forward, I think this all got kicked off when he made the comment he doesn't know how to motivate this group. I think that changed everything.
Why?
Because
you care about that. I heard you Monday and last week.
Yeah.
You care more about that than I do.
Because you'll never...
Personally.
Because a coach... How many... You'll never hear
but
a coach say that.
It's honest. The players. How do they come out? How do they come out these games, Perrin, not ready to go? Shame on them. They all came from bum programs. They came from JUCOs. I mean, Curry and L. Ellis have missed 2 years of a college basketball career for whatever reason. JUCO. I don't know why they were there.
Probably didn't have grades.
If it's grades or whatever. Well, you're at a place. Curry's at least taken advantage of it.
Yeah.
I think for the most part. I think L. Ellis. I have no idea. I think someone could do better with him. I'm not sure how good he is. There's people that thought he was better than Ty before the season. I have receipts. Don't worry. We'll be posting those.
Bring me the receipts.
We'll be posting those in due time. But I
thought he was. I thought L. Ellis was going to be really good. I thought he was going to be a lot better.
I mean, these guys are fighting for tournament and to do something in their college career that is worth anything. Malik and Sam have been around here for like 8 years combined. They ain't done a damn thing.
No.
They're not making tournaments. They're not winning games. They're not winning big games. I sound like a Mac apologist, and maybe it's because I'm pivoting against everyone else who's just absolutely murdering Mac, but the guy's not being ready to play last night against Virginia. Virginia's been running the same GD offense the same time Tony Bennett's been there.
Yeah, has that changed?
Only personnel. Anyone. They don't have athletes.
They don't have anything.
That team's a joke.
They have a bunch of guys that you've never heard
their
of.
Their two guards are fine. I mean, K.A. Clark is fine, and then the other guy who's good last night. They're good.
They're serviceable.
No one else on that team is any good.
They're not world beaters.
They're not a tournament team. It's an NIT team.
Listen,
right?
No, you're right. But this meeting, I don't know what's going to transpire from it. But what I will say is there's still a lot of season left to watch these games. We're going to have to watch a lot of this regardless of what happens tomorrow, whether it's one side of the coin or the other.
It's not. It's one of those things where I don't think it galvanizes anybody. I don't.
It doesn't.
I don't. I think that's BS. And plus, he got Duke. So I don't know. If they lose to Duke 80-72, are we going to sit here and say, if they play like that against anyone else on their schedule, they have a chance to win?
No, we're not going to say that.
I mean, Begees is going to look over there and say, you got anything, McMaines? I mean, what offense are they running? McMaines' offense or the offense they've been running lately? Texas says Jordan Warr had his success under Chris Mack.
No, he didn't.
Do you think Jordan Warr was maximized here? He got benched,
no,
please.
No, I don't think he got maximized. I think Jordan lost out a lot on having a good playmaker play with alongside him. Because now all of a sudden that guy's in the NBA and all of a sudden he's looking better than he was here. Like, I mean, and I know guys get better as they go on to the NBA, and the college game is different from the NBA game. But I felt like Jordan didn't have a playmaker, and because of that, he struggled a lot at times, and we gave him a lot of crap for it. We gave him a lot of crap for his struggles.
Yeah, because these would always key in on him.
Dude, he got eviscerated here.
He got killed.
He got killed
And looking
here.
Back on it, he didn't deserve as much as he got.
Let me throw this out here as well. 437-9680. We got to get out of here. I have a feeling. I see Marquez right here. I have a feeling tomorrow it's going to be a long day. I just have a feeling it's going to be a long day. Again, my theory, it's just a guess, is that this is something that has been talked about. It's just a theory, again. Now, who do you want? What names are real? What names are not real? I'm sorry. There are names that are not real.
Bruce.
Here's the problem.
Not real.
it's so bad that Blank's leading that charge because I really want to be a part of that. I really want to be a part of the Bruce Pearl charge, but I don't believe in any of it. And I just think Mac, his inability to play the political game, his inability to get kids that were his kind of guys like he did at Xavier, and his desperation this year, Perrin, to try something new. He's running the air raid with a bunch of running backs. And that's how I feel about his team. And there's a lot to do. Go ahead, Jack. Did you have something you want to say at the end? Sorry, you were leaning towards the mic.
No, I'm good.
Is that the first time that's ever happened? Perrin, we went to Jack. Do you have an opinion?
And he gave you nothing.
And he gave nothing.
They're not getting Will Wade. I mean,
who told Dominique Will Wade? I gotta talk.
You
gotta get your guy.
It is perfect.
He would have been better off saying Rick Pitino again.
It is perfect. I think it's perfect that Blake's the one leading the Bruce Pearl charge.
Who?
I think it's perfect, actually, that Blake's the one.
No, I'm mad because I like Bruce Pearl. I don't want to agree with Mark Blankenbaker. That's the point.
Watch Diener throw out like Richard Pitino tomorrow.
Yeah, he's like, you know, this guy's a hell of a coach.
Kevin Willard.
I know who they need to hire. It's obvious. Archie Miller.